this outreach and everything else. This was a really good award to get. And lastly, we had the Outstanding Construction Project. So this recognizes projects which utilize exceptional or innovative construction methods and or outstanding project management, design, and construction methods to overcome challenges and successfully complete a construction project. So very happy to present these to the City Council, and just a testimony as to how successful this project was. It really was.
Well, thank you, Mr. Barr. I don't know, Mr. Lewis, if you wanted to add anything, and maybe we'll take a picture. There's enough there for each council member to hold a plaque.
We have one more award from the American Planning Association, I believe, that we'll introduce now. And then, yes, we'll have each council member get to hold a plaque because we're such big winners.
Now, Mr. Lewis, did you want me to receive this particular plaque? I think you told me. Okay, I'll receive this particular plaque, and then we'll all come down and take a picture with a plaque for everybody.
Tell me about this.
Yeah, I'm happy to. I have a little blurb. I only have one, so apologies, but it's a good one. So on behalf of the Central Coast section of the American Planning Association, I'm honored to present APA's Urban Design Award of Excellence to the City of Atascadero for the Downtown Infrastructure Enhancement Plan. This award from APA recognizes projects that demonstrate exceptional design, thoughtful planning, and a meaningful contribution to the public realm. Atascadero's plan is an excellent example of how infrastructure improvements can do more than address circulation and utilities. Please join me in congratulating the City of Atascadero.
Council member, from your stack of plaques.
Yeah.
What would be the sustainability?
Okay.
Can you hold a bit?
Well, we've been very proud of the Downtown Enhancement Project for some time now, but it's great to see other organizations recognize what a great project it's been. So we really appreciate that recognition coming from these organizations, Nick, and glad to see you being recognized by your peers as well, and Phil, you too. And we thank everybody for that recognition, and I think it's well-deserved. Our team did a great job of managing this project on time and on budget. And we're looking forward to phase two, the arches on either end, so we can enjoy it even more. So with that, we're going to proceed on to consent calendar. Consent calendar consists of items that are considered routine and non-controversial by staff and will be acted upon by a single motion of the council unless otherwise requested by an individual council member. I will begin to see if any other council member wishes to pull an item or ask a question. Okay, seeing none, I wanted to make a comment and ask a question. Item two is the We're doing a contract at the zoo on a project that, but it's going to be paid for by the Zoo Foundation. I want to recognize the Zoo Central Coast Zoo Foundation and thank them for their ongoing and continuing support of the zoo and making extra things possible at the zoo. So just making it a better place for everyone. And we really appreciate that organization's dedication to the city, an organization made up exclusively of volunteers. Also, item three, general election. I just had a question for the clerk for clarification. The county charges us in this thing $75,000 this year, goes up every time, to run the election. But if there are no candidates other than the incumbents, there is the county would not there would not be an election. The county would not charge us that $75,000. Is that correct?
We would have to have the council not make a decision to not have the election, but yes, then we would cancel the election, and then we would not have to pay for an election.
We would not have to pay the $75,000. Okay, thank you. That's my question. Let's see if there's anybody member of the public wish to comment on anything on the consent calendar. Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to council for a motion.
Move approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Funk, a second by Councilmember Peak. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Peak?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Daris?
Yes.
Mayor Bravo?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, with that, I believe, am I skipping over here the city manager's report?
Yes, thank you, Mayor.
The city manager, there we are.
Here I am. Yeah, I have several things to report on, but first, just exhale from the celebrations that we've been going. Right. So congratulations to the council on a successful groundbreaking yesterday at Fire Station 1. And as you can see, Fire Station 2 is well underway. Our firefighters spent their first night in the new Station 1 modular home last evening. So they are responding out of there, and the transition is well underway. So work is also occurring at the police department. So that was great. And how nice to see you and the community out at the dedication of the Monarch Butterfly Garden. It certainly looks a lot nicer than it did 3 years ago. And it's certainly the type of conservation work an AZA-accredited zoo does. So that was really nice to celebrate both of those things, and we're getting good media attention for that. So, okay, my first slide and report is on 4990 Traffic Way. So this was a project that has appealed to the Planning Commission. It's basically they're appealing a staff decision that it was it was still a conforming use. The Planning Commission ruled with the staff that the staff was correct. And they have now appealed to the city council. So the code says that a date should be set within 30 days of receiving the appeal. It doesn't mean the appeal needs to be heard within 30 days. And so the process in the code isn't really laid out as to how the date is set. So I'm suggesting August 11th, looking at your calendar. If there's no objection to the council by the council, then that would be the date that the 4990 Traffic Way appeal would be heard before the city council. So I just wanted to announce that that's the date I'm setting, unless the council at the end of the meeting wants to take action under individual determination. So that's when the appeal will be heard for 4990 Traffic Way. Is that good, Dave? Okay, next, the Lake Fest, Lakeside Wine Fest is coming. Already the wine festival is here. Tickets are on sale now. You don't want to be stuck in a sold-out situation. They do sell out. So please join us this Saturday, June 13th at 4 p.m. The weather should be perfect. The heat is coming tomorrow and Thursday, so you don't want to miss out on this beautiful day in Atascadero. We'll have over 60 wineries, brewers, and cideries, plus food purveyors and art exhibitors, the whole bit. A portion of the proceeds from the festival do benefit the Central Coast Zoo, and so this is really a terrific way to promote the zoo, see the zoo, and enjoy a beautiful Atascadero afternoon in our local wineries and breweries. Next, we have our Movies in the Park. So we're full swing events, as we talked about 2 weeks ago. Summer Movies in the Park starts June 13th at 7 p.m., Zootopia 2. So this will be a lot of fun. And you can see that's a very popular movie. And actually, it was received an Academy Award, I believe. So another neat thing is one of our residents, Jeremy Spears, who was nominated for an Academy Award, actually worked on this movie, on one of the characters. So Atascadero has a real connection to this movie. We're very proud of Mr. Spears. He was also nominated to win an Academy Award for different work. So pretty neat. Famous Atascadero residents. This is free to attend at Colony Park, 5599 Traffic Way. There'll also be games, activities, and more before the movie. So just a great way to spend an afternoon with your family. Do bring a low back chair or picnic blanket, though, so you'll be comfortable. Really proud to share with the council next that we are doing another aquatics program. This will be even a little fuller than last season. So I really appreciate the recreation team's work on this, and Larissa's worked really hard. Programming kicks off on Monday, June 15th. And so it's Monday through Wednesday programming. Lap swim is available from noon to 4. Rec swim is available from 2 to 4:15. So Monday through Wednesday. Thursday through Friday programming, lap swim is available from noon to 5:45. So these are much more extended hours, as you can see. This is really terrific. And rec swim is available from 2 to 4:15. Group swim lessons and private lessons are also available. But you must passes must be purchased in person, though, at the Colony Park Community Center. And registration for lessons may be done via the online, the ActiveNet portal. You can go to www.atascadero.org. and go over to recreation registration on the ActiveNet portal and sign up for your lessons. So this is a much more expanded program. We know the council was really pleased. And these are the kind of things we are able to fund with D20 dollars. And so I know this was a real priority to the community, and it's going to be a terrific aquatics program. Next, I think the most popular program in town right now is Coffee with a Planner. So we're going to continue rolling these out. This is at Amsterdam. We'll be on June 18th from 9 to 10. And just really good discussions going on with these. Come share a hot cup of coffee with our planning staff. This one, I think, is a more general, just talking about planning in general, and you can answer any questions. We've had a lot of questions about ADU, the general plan, land use, those sorts of things, what you can do with your property. So come on down and have coffee with the planner June 18th. Next, we have the Saturday in the Park Summer Concert Series. Our first concert kicks off Saturday, June 20th at 6:30 with Garden Party. So this is a great band. This is classic soft rock. And so it'll be a lot of fun. 6:30, June 20th. All of the concerts are at the Lake Park Bandstand. They're free, and you can just really enjoy them. Bring your low back chair. Food is also available for purchase. You can sip on some wine and enjoy a lovely Atascadero evening. We also, I think that other departments were getting jealous of the Coffee with a Planner. So now we have Coffee with a Cop, and we will have a special appearance by our canine, Pomic. This is on June 24th at Joe Bella's from 9 to 11. So these are great outreach activities. I'm really pleased that the staff takes time to do these. These really are better engagement and better trust building activities than like a formal workshop. And so we're really trying to roll these out more. And it's just a great way to engage the community. So Coffee with a Cop on June 24th. I'm really thrilled too that our police department, our school resource officer, Destiny, is putting on a Women in Blue Leadership Camp. This is a full day from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on June 30th. This is for 6th through 12th graders and is geared to female youth interested in pursuing a career in law enforcement. So really kind of hoping to encourage young women to do this amazing career. We'll have guest speakers from our police department, Cal Poly, Highway Patrol, Probation, the SLO Sheriff's Office, FBI, and the District Attorney's Office. We'll have a canine demonstration, and youth will learn a small portion on forensics and learning how to lift fingerprints. So it should be a pretty neat camp. And lunch is being provided from the Atascadero Police Foundation. Appreciate that. We'll see how this goes. This is the first time we've done this, and I think it could be a really neat opportunity to inspire young women to have a career in law enforcement. And finally, if you have any questions or want more information, you can always go to visitatascadero.com for our events or for citybusinessatascadero.org. Thank you, Mayor and members of council.
Does any member of the council have any questions for the city manager regarding his report? Okay. I just have two comments. One is that thanks to the school district for enabling the use of the high school pool. City-run program, but obviously we couldn't do it without access to the pool. So thank the school district for that. And also, you mentioned some of the ribbon cuttings we've been doing. We enjoy, I think, the council, you know, going to ribbon cuttings, but it also represents progress for the whole community. Recently, we've been able to do the lemur exhibit ribbon cutting, and then yesterday, of course, we all got to swing sledgehammers to begin the destruction of Fire Station 1 so we could be all torn down and rebuilt. So it's just great to see the various projects begin to come to fruition or come to fruition. So thank you for your report. We're going to move on to Community Forum, and Community Forum is reserved for those persons wanting to address the City Council on any matter that is not on the agenda. But the Brown Act prohibits the council from discussing matters not on the agenda. So whatever somebody speaks about, we will not enter into a discussion. We may ask staff a very quick question or ask staff to contact a speaker on something they might raise. Speakers are allowed 3 minutes, and then we ask you state your name for the record. So if anybody would like to speak at Community Forum, please approach the podium.
Good evening, Council. Jeff Oslin, resident here in our wonderful city. Want to address yesterday's nice little celebration with the fire department and police department and their upgraded and new facilities. I think that was a fantastic event. And once again, it does show that we do what we're supposed to do as a city when we say we're going to put funds to emergency services or recreation. I think it's a fantastic, fantastic tribute. The temporary housing facilities for the fire for fire department for Station One. My understanding is those temporary facilities are better than Station One, so that's a step in the right direction as we start this process for a new firehouse. Our city manager wasn't here 2 weeks ago when I commented on the American flags, and I would personally like to thank Jim Lewis and his family again for doing the flags and taking it over kind of for Lon Allen. I think that's a wonderful civic duty. Goes a long way. On the aquatics, I also believe Kiwanis has donated some money to that as well. So, you know, the three or four of us here from Kiwanis can be proud of that. The other one is, I meant to mention 2 weeks ago, I saw those banners, if you will, go up in the downtown celebrating 250 years. Those are fantastic, and thank you. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak in community forum? Okay, seeing none, we will close community forum at this time, and we will come back and we will proceed to our next agenda item, a public hearing, item H1, adopting sewer service charges for the year 2026-2027. And I believe I'm going to turn this over to Mr. DeBar, Public Works Director.
Thank you, Mayor Burbeau, and I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Ryan Betts, our Public Works Analyst.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council. My name is Ryan Betts, Public Works Analyst, and I'm here before you for a public hearing to propose adopting the sewer service charges to be added to the 2026-2027 property tax rolls. Just a quick recap. Today is a public hearing to receive any objections to the placement of sewer service charges. We are a little bit of a unique community where we do not charge sewer service charges on a monthly basis. We do it on an annual basis with a partnership with the county. Those sewer service charges are fixed rates, and they are actually collected at the time of property tax when those are due with the county. Just by way of this year, looking forward to 26-27, we are proposing to bill approximately almost 5,800 parcels in the city of Atascadero, totaling approximately $6.9 million in wastewater revenue. For those that receive this bill on their property tax, it will be clearly marked as a Atascadero sewer service charge on their statement. Just by way of the deadline to get that information to the county, it is due on July 20th. So it's precedent that we at least consider the proposal tonight. And as always, the county does charge a very nominal fee of $2 per levy to process all that information and get on the property tax. And I've always loved this chart, so any opportunity I can to bring it up, just by which of what we looked at sewer service charges that were adopted earlier this year, we are still within the median with our comparables with the cities and to the north, to the south, and of course our community service districts. And that's it tonight. Council, please consider conducting a public hearing to receive verbal testimony regarding the proposed sewer service charges to be levied on the property tax rolls. And number two, adopt a draft resolution approving sewer service charges to be added to the fiscal year 2026-2027 property tax rolls, and staff is available for any questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Betts. Does any member of the council have any questions for staff? Okay, seeing none, this being a public hearing, we'll open this up to public comment. See if there are any members of the public wishing to speak on this item. Okay, seeing no one rushing to the podium, will we return it to council for any discussion or a motion?
I'll move approval of the draft resolution.
Okay,
I'll second.
All right. We have a motion by Councilmember Pete. I mean, Councilmember Funk, and a second by Councilmember Pete. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Peake?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Daris?
Yes.
Mayor Bourbeau?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right. Thank you. We will move on to item H2, which is beginning of the first of a series of public hearings on assessment districts. And I believe I'm going to turn this over to our Administrative Services Director, Jerry Rangel.
Great. Thank you so much, Mayor. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Tonight we have before you the public hearings for the assessment districts. We'll wait just a moment for those to pop up. So we do have three separate assessment districts that we'll go over tonight. For expediency, we'll kind of give you some information on each collectively, and then we'll go each public hearing if that works for you. We will have, like you say, the Apple Valley, De Anza, and Las Lomas are our three areas for those developments. Council's longstanding policy is that new developments should pay for itself. So part of that policy requires that developers put in a mechanism to cover the costs in those neighborhoods, such as road maintenance and common landscape areas. Developers had the options back when these were formed to either form a homeowners association or assessment district. The developers for Apple Valley, De Anza Estates, and Las Lomas, formerly known as Woodridge, all decided to form assessment districts. This is not a general tax to the citizens of Atascadero. It is just for the neighbors in these developments. For these three areas we are discussing tonight, there are a total of six districts. Because of the way that assessment district law works, each district is generally required to have two assessments, one for landscape and lighting and one for streets and storm drain. A public hearing must be held annually to adopt the levies for these districts. The general fund does contribute a small amount for public benefit. So staff evaluated the short and long-term costs of both districts in Apple Valley and proposed that the levies stay the same as the prior year. So $550 a year for the street and storm drain district and $900 a year for the landscape and lighting district. And that concludes my report on Apple Valley, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, so we're going to do this three times, or did you want to present a single staff, and then we'll hold three possible public comments? I mean, do you have any different commentary to provide regarding the others?
Yes, if you'd like to go ahead and hold three separate comment period, that would be
okay. Let's go ahead and just take each item then. So this is item H2, Apple Valley Assessment Districts. Is there any member of the council have any questions? Seeing none, we'll open it up to public comment. Is any member of the public?
Just as a clarifying point, with the in the future with the Ramona Road realignment, that wouldn't be at any part of Apple Valley's budget in terms of what their assessments are, right?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Correct. Yes. By the way, these things don't ever expand, right? I mean, if you had a different development, you would create a new one, right?
Correct.
Okay, got it. So, okay, seeing that, we'll see any member of the public wishing to comment on item H2, Apple Valley Assessment District. Okay, seeing none, we'll close that and bring it back to council for a motion.
Move approval of draft resolutions A, B, C, and D for Apple Valley Assessment Districts, item number 2.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Funk, second by Mayor Pro Tem Daris. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Peake?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Daris?
Yes.
Mayor Bourbeau?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, we'll move on to item H3, which is the same issue, but for De Anza Estates Assessment Districts.
Again, staff evaluated both the long and short-term costs for De Anza Estates for both the districts and proposed that the levy is the same as the prior year, so $342.48 per year for the street and storm drain district for the senior housing, $681.50 per year for the street and storm drain district for the single family residential area, and $305, which is a slight increase for the lights, landscape and lighting district for the next following year. And that concludes my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, any questions of staff on this item? Okay, see, actually, go ahead then.
Just one hopefully simple question. The previous one, Apple Valley, there was no increase, including on the landscape, but this one, there's a $30 increase. I'm just wondering what precipitated that?
You know, we kind of spread out project forward the costs and expenses that we'll have in working with Public Works and what type of maintenance we need. De Anza District had some excess fund balance that we were using to kind of supplement the levy so that we could keep the levy low. And so over time, they've been kind of, you know, utilizing that. So we're just setting the levy to a place that it's more sustainable.
Okay. And I imagine the landscape in this district is quite different from the other, so you can't compare and say they didn't get, there was no increase there, but we're increasing here. So what, you know, that's I just want to make, kind of wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
So it's, I meant just the difference in landscaping.
Of course.
Thank you.
Okay. Seeing no other questions, we'll go out to the public. Would any member of the public wish to comment on this item? De Anza Estates Assessment Districts. Okay, seeing no one approach, we'll close this and close the public hearing on it and bring it back to council for a motion.
Move approval of draft resolutions A, B, C, and D for De Anza State Assessment Districts.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Funk and a second by Councilmember Newsom. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Peak?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Daris?
Yes.
Mayor Bobo?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. We will move on to item H4, which is the same issue relative to Las Lomas or Woodridge Assessment Districts.
Thank you again. So for Las Lomas District, it is a little bit different. We did increase this by a CPI of 3% when compared to the prior year. So back in 2017, we had a neighborhood meeting to discuss the issue of funding of road maintenance with the neighborhood. The majority of the homeowners that were in attendance at the neighborhood meeting were strongly opposed to contributions or set aside for long-term maintenance in that, that district. The proposed street and storm drain district levy is sufficient only for kind of the annual operating costs and periodic surface treatments of the roads. Residents were informed of this and that in approximately 20 years, the road would require a more in-depth road maintenance project, and which would require significant funding. The residents were also informed that the homeowners would be responsible for those repairs and that the proposed levy at the existing rate would not be sufficient to fund these. Before fiscal year 2023-24, the district will need to come together to figure out how to fund the future maintenance of these periodic pavement rehabilitation that is set to occur approximately in 38-39. The estimated cost of this is about $1 million. A notice was sent to the property owners in the district, which is done annually, and staff does have concerns about these long-term maintenance because we don't want to catch anybody unaware of this. But in order to kind of keep the cost down as much as possible, we are recommending the street and storm drain maintenance district be $464 annually, and the landscape and lighting district stay at $347 per year. And that concludes my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, does any member of the council have a question?
You mentioned that the cost, the ultimate cost to do the 20-year repairs on the road is about $1 million. How many properties are in that assessment district, roughly?
I don't recall how many are in there. I can check real quick. It's in the engineer's report, I know.
Okay, yeah.
It's in the report here for... I believe it's mentioned very specifically. Perhaps you could find that real quick. I had a question, which is, as you've indicated, you know, the property owners, or at least a majority in the past, expressed a desire to keep the rate low. You have forewarned them, though, that, you know, this long-term cost is building up. Are we, in terms of these letters we send them? Are we reminding, you know, they're obviously new homeowners every year due to turnover. Are we reminding them that, hey, you're building up a long-term liability that you're not set aside money for, just so they don't come back, you know, 20 years from now or 15 years from now when the bill comes due, where the street really starts to fall apart?
Yes, that is correct. We are doing that. There is documentation on the title reports too that we've filed, so that, and we hold this meeting every year. So we're trying to make sure that every year neighbors, and even as neighbors come and go, or we, you know, year to year, you kind of maybe forget. So we want to have those reminders there so that nobody is surprised about this.
Okay, thank you. Because I think that's the important thing, is we're keep, when you, because you, when you said you recommended this rate, it's really, we're recommending this based on the neighborhood's feedback.
Correct.
Right. So, got it. Okay, thank you. Councilmember Papik, you had a question?
Yeah, can we clarify? I had a resident was asking me about the green belt, and there's a trail behind Las Lomas. There's some tree work. There was some clearing and cleaning up of that space. Just whether or not that's included in this, or that's something the city maintains separately.
Yeah, so there's an open space around the Las Lomas district, and so the city, as part of the assessment district, maintains the trees and some of that, does the weed whacking and weed abatement and all of that on behalf of the district. So we do maintain that.
So when the city is there doing weed whacking, like maybe last week, is that paid through the CSD or the, not CSD, but the, is it paid through this? That's not a contractor that the fire department's hiring after June.
That it, as long as it's in the district, within the bounds of the district, that would be paid through this assessment district. The city does contribute a small amount to that as well to maintain the trail.
Okay. That was what we need clarified. Thank you.
Okay, seeing no further questions from council, we'll open it up to the public. Any member of the public wishing to comment on this item, Las Lomas Assessment District.
Good evening, Council. Jeff Oslin. Once again, I do have one comment, I guess, because this has gone back and forth for several years. $1 million to possibly have to do the repavement and all that. When was that assessment made? Was it 10 years ago? Was it this year? Because things keep going up, and 10 years from now, that could be a $4 million project. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of the public wishing to comment? Okay. Thank you. I'm not sure when that estimate was, and obviously it would change over time, but it's just to give people a ballpark.
That's correct. And we, every year we look at the pavement management, we update those costs, and that's reflected in the proposed rates as well. I did see on page 167 of your staff report is the summary. There's 181 APNs in Las Lomas, and it's equivalent to 231.75 EBUs, equivalent benefit units, not to be confused by EDUs.
Yes, got it. Thank you. Okay, bring it. We'll no seeing no other member of the public coming. We'll bring it back to council for a motion.
Move approval of draft resolutions A, B, C, and D for Las Lomas.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Funk, second by Mayor Pro Tem Darius. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk.
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Peak?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Darius?
Yes.
Mayor Rippo?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Thank you. We will move on to our next item, which is item H5, a downtown parking and business improvement area confirmation of annual assessment. And I believe this is going to be Lorelei Capel, our economic development manager, will present this item.
Oh, thank you very much. Good evening. Okay. Tonight we're here to talk a little bit about the Downtown Parking and Business Improvement District. It was established in 1986 as part of the Municipal Code, Chapter 11. This is the boundary that you see here. It is basically from Morrow Road 41 to Rosario, and then Highway 101 back to Capistrano. This requires an annual resolution of intent and public hearing for levying the collection of assessment. This year, we'll have the budget on the next slide, but we basically bring about $14,000 every year through an assessment on business license fees. There's a $50 fee plus any employees that you have that the downtown merchants have voted to assess themselves so that they can have this for beautification, events, and marketing. We came to you on May 12th with a draft resolution, and here we are today to bring forward a final resolution. We partner with the Chamber of Commerce on the expenditures so that they can actually administer these dollars and fulfill requests as the merchants submit them. The merchants have organized in the past couple years to now come together as a group of 10 or so and meet about every other week. So they are more organized than they have been in at least in the past couple years, post-COVID, I'll say. Here we have the proposed expenditures for 2026-2027. As you can see, we believe about $14,000 will come in. $13,700 is in the chamber's budget as they're estimating. And they typically divide the funds about 33% between events, beautification, and marketing. So they are holding some of these dollars for a larger project for beautification. They've been talking about lighting in Trotta. They've had some struggles with the logistics behind that and the actual cost, but they are actually working through that. I was at the State of the BIA meeting last week where they're talking through that as a group of merchants with the chamber. So with that, we recommend that the council adopt draft resolution confirming the annual assessment for the downtown parking and business improvement area for fiscal year 2026 and 2027. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Does any member of the council have questions? Councilmember Funk.
Yes, in conversations with downtown business people, I've been really encouraged to see more activity with the in doing events and things together in a more cooperative. A lot of women business owners are stepping up to work together, and that seems to be a good dynamic. And I was wondering, if you could expand a little bit about it, comment on that, and also comment if you are, to the extent you're able, whether or not the downtown business owners are starting to see the improvements in their revenue streams that are consistent with the that beautiful stack of awards we just got on our downtown project.
Yes, so I'll start with your first part, which is it's been really nice to see them organize. There's been some emerging leaders, and of course new blood comes in, a new business comes in and has a lot of questions and has to catch up, but it's really nice to see them all understanding that they need a united vision, because people come and go as councils change over time, and it's nice to have a general plan or a vision. So they're understanding that, and it's been nice that they've invited Terry Banish and myself to the meetings to answer questions over the years. The last piece of your question was about the reaping the benefits of the downtown investment. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's been a mixed bag. I think that some people, depending on the industry that they're in and the type of marketing that they do, I've seen that, for example, great example, Specs by Kyla has a new location. She's right on El Camino and says this is by far the best she's ever done, and it's so excited. And some other people are saying people aren't coming out to dinner like they used to be, and they're hanging on to their dollars a little more. So I'm seeing things based on whether they're in the food industry or they're selling retail merchandise, just a lot of mixed bag. But overall, I feel like everyone's happy with the project and very excited about it. So kudos to council for that vision.
Thank you. Councilmember Peek.
Yeah, just to clarify on that summarized budget, what used to be on the revenue for events, and how can we turn that dash into a number? Or what used to be accounted for there, and what is it coming from somewhere else, or they're just not having events that cost any money, or
You know, that wasn't mentioned in the chamber's report this year. I think it was something that they used to have when the, maybe when the downtown, I would assume when the downtown BIA was hosting actual events and bringing in dollars. Now they do things like trick or treat or art hop, and they're all free. So they're just expenses and not revenue earners, but it might be a good idea to keep it on the budget in case they were to host something like a sip and shop, which the chamber now hosts. So maybe if the merchants ever took it over, they could host something like that.
They originally hosted Taco Day on Traffic Way, correct?
They did. So they yes, that was a...
From vendors and... BIA. Okay, sellers. Okay, gotcha.
Yep. Good example. Thank you.
Any other questions from council? Okay, my question is, you know, we've seen this before. We're taking in $13,000, $14,000 a year, and there's been a plan. Frequently, they didn't actually end up spending that the plan. This shows they're going to basically spend all the money they have.
Yes, that is the plan.
So $64,000 leaving a balance of zero, which actually would be really cool to see him get a major project done. How confident are you that that's really going to come to fruition?
They made a motion last 2 weeks ago to spend it, and they have other ideas. They're coming up with alternatives because to actually conduct the project that they had hoped to, it was more like a six-figure project and it was a bit cost prohibitive, but there are other alternatives like decorative art on our light poles, for example. That would have to, of course, be looked at by the city and our public works director and friends to make sure that could work and make sure those poles are electrified. So there's looking at other alternatives that don't include mounting things onto private buildings and putting larger poles into our right-of-way.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. I'll open it up to public comment on this item. Any member of the public wishing to speak, please approach. Okay. Seeing no one approach the podium, we'll close this item and bring it back to council for a motion.
Move approval of the draft resolution.
I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Funk, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Daris. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Peak?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Daris?
Yes.
Mayor Bourbeau?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Thank you very much. We will move on to item H6, the Atascadero Tourism Business Improvement District, and we'll turn us over to Ms. Terry Banish.
Thank you. Good evening, Council. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the adoption of the annual assessment of the Atascadero Tourism Business Improvement District. The City of Atascadero established the Atascadero Tourism Business Improvement District, referred to as ATBID, to levy annual assessments under the Parking and Business Improvement Area Law of 1989 by adopting the Parking and Business Improvement Area Law of 1989 by adopting the Atascadero Mutual Municipal Code, Chapter 16, on April 2013. The activities to be funded by the assessment on lodging businesses within the ATBID are designed as promotions, designated as promotions and marketing programs to promote the city as a tourism destination. It is required that the advisory board provide a specific report to City Council annually for the expenditure of funds derived from the assessment and are paid by lodging businesses within the city. These levies are adopted annually and were provided in the annual report presented May 12th of 2026. The physical impact on the annual assessments are expected to be $534,030, and the expenditures are budgeted at $546,340 for the fiscal year 2026-2027. And in the annual assessment, we do note that the estimated fund balance for June 30th of 2026 is projected to be at $752,280. And I say that because the expenses are a little higher than the revenue on your slide there for the fiscal impact. For this evening, the recommendation currently in the agenda, I wanted to note, is incorrect, but in the staff report, it is correct. And that recommendation is to adopt for council to adopt the draft resolution confirming the annual assessment for the ATBID for the 2026-2027 fiscal year. And that concludes my report.
Okay. Start on my left. Any member questions from council? Okay. Seeing none. Any questions over here? Okay. I had a question, actually. As indicated in the staff report, we increased the assessment by 0.5%, and with that revenue intended to be focused on improvements to the zoo. I don't see this kind of a anything specific regarding how that would be spent. Can you elaborate on that, or has that not been decided yet?
We are in the mode of putting that 0.5% aside, so we're roughly around 97,500 through 2025, and as that builds, then we'll be working with the app bid and with the zoo on where that money will go towards or what it will go towards. So we've included the app bid in that part of it the entire way, so we just have to get a little bit more funds going on there.
Okay, thank you. And even, you know, when you take out setting aside the money for the zoo, it still seems like a very large balance, more than a year's worth of revenue as the balance. Mm-hmm. Is there a particular, and it seems that that's been there for a while, and it doesn't seem like we're saving it up for a big bang thing.
Right.
So what is the purpose of having over a year's worth of revenue in fund balance?
The T-bid is kind of working on contingencies in tourism, where when we have a lull or, you know, we have a lot of vacancy coming on, we have an opportunity to do more promotions. That's pretty much the TBID board wanting to have those dollars available for that.
Okay, because it's always just concerning as a public entity or quasi, you know, the ATBID being really a public entity because we create it, that, you know, holding large funds balance and at some point needs to be expended on the purpose for which it's been gathered. So, okay. I'm going to open it up to public comment. Any member of the public wishing to comment on this item? Okay. Seeing no one approach, we will bring it back to council for a motion.
Move approval of the draft resolution as specified on pages 208 to 209 of the staff report of the agenda packet.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Funk, second by Mayor Pro Tem Daris. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Peak?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Daris?
Yes.
Mayor Rabeau?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right, thank you. We will move on to item I-1, City of Atascadero Emergency Operations Plan. Turn this over to, I believe, our Fire Chief, Casey Bryson, to discuss.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm excited to bring you this management report tonight on the 2026 City of Atascadero Emergency Operations Plan. This plan has been in the works for quite a long time. One of our fire captains, Chris Robinson, Battalion Chief Dave Van Son, myself, and many others, and I'll mention them later as we get a little further, have spent quite a bit of time on this, so we're happy to bring this to you. We actually did review the overview of the big components at our strategic planning in January, so it should be relatively familiar, but that was a few months ago. So this is the last, hopefully, of the large plans from the fire department you'll see this spring and summer. We've already brought you the fire code, standards of cover, local hazard mitigation plan, and the community wildfire protection plan. So this is the last of those plans we hope to be done for a little while. Just a little bit of the background. This plan that we've finished up this year replaces a 2018 version. That was a revised version of a plan that originally started about 2010. So we were due for a total overhaul. This is a completely new plan. My fire captain, Chris Robinson, actually worked collaboration with a fire captain in Paso. We developed together a very similar plan. And that's important because if we have a disaster, we may be working with other cities to staff our EOC. So we felt that was super important. Basically, the EOP is a large picture document. It's big picture. It's not the exact plans of how we do things, but it's an overall process and doesn't get down into the fine details. And we'll kind of cover that here in a minute. This updated EOP provides a framework for managing emergencies and coordinating multi-agency response. So big picture disasters, the EOP identifies the city's primary hazards. A few mentioned here, earthquakes, hazardous materials, wildfire. So it's going to identify those. It's going to talk about who does what, but it doesn't get into the details. Adoption of the plan ensures legal compliance, maintains eligibility for disaster reimbursement, and that's really a big piece of this document. There's a lot of high-level federal guidelines from FEMA that we'll talk about here a little bit further, but it's the legal compliance and then our reimbursement after the fact is the big driving force for a lot of the language in it. Further on in the discussion, we have followed our Tassero Muni Code, Chapter 4. It outlines our city's emergency organizations and functions. The Muni Code designates the city manager as the director of emergency services. The director of emergency services or city manager appoints the fire chief as the coordinator of emergency services. Coordinator then, myself, is responsible for updating plans, bringing plans to the disaster council, which I'll get to here in just a sec. But also, so not only updating plans, but also coordinating the training with city departments, preparing the city, the EOC for that next emergency. Two other organizations mentioned both in the plan and in the municipal code are the Disaster Preparedness Committee and the Disaster Council. Disaster Preparedness Committee is a pretty special group, I think, made up with members from every department. We meet monthly and we prepare the city from all aspects, every department. We put in work. It's a working group where we prepare the city, look at those plans and review them. The executive team also provided input and review on the plan. And then that final piece is the Disaster Council. So that's identified in the municipal code. It's the mayor, the city manager, fire chief, and police chief. We met a week ago and recommended that we move the EOP for adoption by city council following the municipal code. In the staff report, there's a basic summary of each of the sections. There are a couple sentences. They're very short, but it describes the entire document. I think there's about 15 sections. I'm not going to review or read all of them. There are a couple I do want to just highlight really briefly. The hazard analysis, we talked a lot about this with the local hazard mitigation plan. And that plan, they mesh together. They support each other. But the LHMP is really the looking at the process to mitigate those hazards and search for funding to mitigate those hazards. This is very high level where we identify the hazard. We're going to say who's going to run the incident and then manage that through the EOC. It's a little bit different. The concept of operations, this is where we get that high level discussion with SEMS, the Standard Emergency Management System, which is basically in California, NIMS, the National Incident Management System, which is FEMA, all of which say that we need to follow the ICS, Incident Command System. So there's a lot of that language saying, bottom line, if you would like to be reimbursed from these agencies, you will follow our language and our structure. The organization and assignment of responsibilities, this is where it does detail down a little bit for Atascadero. This is Atascadero-specific. It outlines our Emergency Operations Center. It specifies which member of the team will fill different roles in the ICS structure. So that is a little bit more specific and a little bit more hands-on useful for us, where we know that the fire chief may be in charge of the fire branch, right? It outlines who does what. Just continuing on the summary. I'll point out two more pieces and then we'll move on. Crisis communications. This is a more specific section that establishes a joint information center where we would be getting the word out. And then it does outline some of those public notification systems that we've spent several meetings talking about how we notify the public. Again, a little bit more high level, we would have another evacuation plan that would detail out how that gets done. But this is going to identify that we would use a joint information system and we would get the word out through different methods. And then finally,